On to the next one. And this one I've entitled Social and Economic, or it'd probably be better said Economic and Social. And I'm talking about here employers, bosses, teachers, and near and dear to my heart as an example, coaches. And I can't tell you, as a child growing up, how many people would laud my father when things were going well and give him a fit when things weren't going well. That's not what God's honor toward people, toward those who are in positions of authority, economic or business world, or in the social or instructional world, or even in sports. That's not how we're to be. Think about Hagar. Sarah was mean to her, but the Lord told her what? Go back and submit yourself to her. That's the seriousness of this. That's in Genesis 16:9, if some of you want to go read that. So I want to look at 1 Timothy in this one, the 6th chapter, and we're only going to read this one verse for this section, because what you're beginning to see is that this honor, as we do it toward the Lord, toward Jesus, as we do it toward our family whom we love, as we do it toward those government officials who we want to be in a position to do good for us, and now to those we interact with in our daily lives a lot of times, they all overlap, and it's the same concept. Again, this is given in the context of slaves. Now, you got to remember, a lot of these slaves were indentured, where they put themselves under subject to the master. Not like we read and know of history in our nation and other nations of slavery. It says, let all who are young under the yoke of slaves regard their own masters as worthy of all honor. Just didn't say a little bit of honor. All honor. So that why? So that the name of God and our doctrine may not be spoken against. So do you see how you treat others with or without honor doesn't reflect just on you, but on what? On our Father as well. Let me read you this in the Passion Translation. Instruct every employee to respect and honor their employers, for this attitude presents them to a clear testimony of God's truth and renown. Tell them never to provide them with a reason to discredit God's name because of their actions. Wow. Again, that's the Passion Translation. Believers ought to be the best employees. Employers ought to desire true believers to be working for them. Why? Because, saints, the Word says you're blessed. And when you take that blessing on the job with you, that just means you're in a position to help bless others, including your bosses, who you're working for. And if we really could grasp this and this cycle of honor, honor given so that honor can be given back and received, it's huge. Now, a lot of people say, I want to be a witness on the job. I fully agree. But I'm going to say it this way. In all you do, honor God, and I'll guarantee you, you'll be a witness. And I may have been in St. Christopher or someone made this statement or something like it. Preach Christ, and if you have to, use words. That's what I'm saying. Your actions will speak louder than words that you just say, particularly if you don't live up to them in every respect. And furthermore, you're on their dime. If they have rules that you don't just share over and over the word of the gospel, then live it in what you do. And I guarantee you, people will see and God will elevate you either in that organization or He'll put you in another organization. Now, I can't stress enough, children need to hear this early on so that as they go to school, they honor. Do I believe that there are teachers who just don't treat their students with honor? Sure there are. Few and far between, but there are. Just like there are others in different positions of authority. But overwhelmingly, we've seen today that the word says, you treat them with honor, and they will what? Honor you. That's a promise we can stand on with the Lord. The next group, spiritual leaders. Now, we've already read a number of verses, as I said, that apply to these. Remember when Jesus said, if we honor him, we honor the Father who sent him? And we talked about pastors in Matthew 10 who, one sent by leadership, should be honored just as you would honor the leader. This just ties right into that. Hebrews 13th chapter, the 17th verse. And I'm just going to read this. Matter of fact, I'm not even going to read it in New American Standard. Look at what this says. Passion Translation. Obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority. Now, how many people leave churches and hop from church to church to church because the pastor instructs in a way that it's something they don't agree with? If they're leaving and the Lord told them not to, but they're doing it because they were offended when what was taught, they're hurting themselves. They're never going to mature as long as anything that creates a, oh my gosh, moment for them, that I just run from it. So this is how we obey, submit to, honor our pastor. So I'll just read it this way. Honor your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority. For they keep watch over your soul without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work. So see this. If you believe you have pastors who aren't honoring you, that's not a reason to not honor them. Because they're going to have to give an answer for their work. God will, He will deal with that lack of honor if they're truly doing that. And He may deal with it right away as you begin to bless Him and pray for Him. And he hears the voice of the Lord giving him instruction. And then it says, look at this. So it will benefit you. There's that reward again. When you make their work a pleasure and not a burden. It is not fun to spend all day correcting people. Be it children, your own, or grandchildren, or from a supervisor in a workplace. The biggest joy I got was honoring other people. Even if they made a mistake, if they received the correction, then I was able to honor them greatly as they changed and moved on up and did things correctly. That is just so, so, so important. Look at 1 Timothy again, chapter 5. I hope this is blessing you as it is me. It just really has encouraged me as we've gone through this today. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. Let the elders, those leadership, senior leaders in the church, who rule well, be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. Now, I am putting this in there, not for my benefit, so please do not take it that way. I have a son who's a pastor. I believe we ought to do it, but I don't believe we ought to do it because I have a son who's a pastor. I believe we ought to do it because this is the instruction of the Lord to us. Now, too many churches, too many people talk about their pastor in a non-honorable way. Many of them actually feel like it's their job to keep them humble, because they are up in front of people all the time, and I will add, and poor. But I want you to see there is nothing honorable about that. Listen to the way people talk about some of their pastors. Well, I remember one pastor I heard who told an account of being in a church, and the people were saying, well, our little pastor. Little pastor. I mean, how demeaning do you want to get? I don't know if he was short in stature. But that's not an honoring thing. And that's what we want to do. One of the best bosses I ever had was a very short fellow. But I honored him. And guess what? he honored more people than you'd ever realize. And I would submit to you that until well after he had retired, and he's passed on now, until he received the Lord, I don't know that he fully appreciated what he was doing. But this concept of honor was groomed in him as a person, and he operated in it the best way he knew how. But when we do it with the Lord's help, with the Lord's working with us, then how much stronger can that be? Pray for your pastors. Paul asked for prayer for him. How much more do you think pastors need it? And not only pray for your pastors, for their family. I had friends who were pastor's kids. Some really struggled with it. And the PKs sometimes were not the best behaved. But a lot of it is because they didn't see people honoring their family for what they were giving up to serve in that position. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. I am not saying you're to worship your pastor. Don't put them or any teachers you respect, especially me, on a pole. I don't want to be elevated that way. What do you remember? The Asherah poles? Do you remember what was elevated on the pole when the healing needed to come? The bronze serpent? Certain things are made idols when they're raised up. And you don't want to put any person of God, any person, period, in that role and that responsibility. You just hear and follow the Lord. And now the last group, number 7. And if you want to go back to 1 Peter 2:17, you can, but it's only 3 words that I'm going to tell you, so you don't have to turn there. It simply says, honor all men. Now you say, why should I have to honor all men? Well, let me ask you, who did Jesus die for? Did he honor all men by giving up his life and his blood for all men? I'm not saying all men are going to accept it. But yes, he showed honor for all men. He died for all. How often in the Word does it say, I don't want that any of these kids even should perish? That he wants all to come to the knowledge of the Lord. That he doesn't want anyone to not walk with him. This is what he wants for us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. This is such a powerful scripture. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him now thus no longer. What he's saying here is that when Jesus walked the earth in his flesh, we knew him according to the flesh. But now that he's not with us, we know him how? According to the spirit realm. That real man inside you and I as born-again believers. Now go back to the first part of that. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no man according to the flesh. So if you're talking about fellow believers, which we've already covered, we value and recognize them, even if their flesh is rebellious. Because why? Because of who they have become as born again, even though they're missing it. We honor them. If they are not believers, as we look at them knowing that, then our heart ought to yearn for them. You want to demonstrate to them, not just speak, but demonstrate to them the kingdom of God and his goodness. Use words if you have to, so that what? So that the good people they can become inside, in that hidden man, so that they can see it and have this same born-again experience, this same opportunity not to be motivated by condemnation, but to be motivated by righteousness, just as the gift you and I have been given. So this is why I believe we're told, honor all men. Doesn't mean they're going to be your best friend. It doesn't even mean you're going to spend a lot of time with them. But if I honor those that are precious to God, which is all people, then what do I know in return? That he's going to honor me in that way. You know, as I'm saying this right now, I'm thinking about people I know who have been praying for a long time for loved ones, even some sons and daughters, even some spouses. And they what? They want them to come to the Lord so badly. And it's just like I hear the Lord saying, honor those that I love. And there's a reward for that. Let me wrap this up. I want to talk about some of the things Jesus said on things we don't want to do relative to honor. John 5:41 in the New King James, Jesus speaking says, I do not receive honor from man or from men. So to me, what he's saying there is I don't pursue trying to obtain the honor of men. Now, why would I say that? The word receive there is the word lambano, which means to take hold of. Listen to the Amplified. I receive not glory from men. I crave no human honor. I look for no mortal fame. The Good News says, I'm not looking for human praise. Now, we are all people. Jesus was a person of like flesh. And I know it meant something to him when people treated him as a friend, when people honored him. We all desire that. But what he's saying is, don't put that out in front of seeking honor from the Lord. Because all you're doing is building yourself up in pride. Let me take you back to the book of Esther. We studied this together, looking at people and acting in authority when Esther was called for such a time as this. And you remember, Mordecai heard Haman talking about a plan to kill all the Jews. He went to Esther and she didn't want to go before the king. He convinced her she needed to for such a time as this. Perhaps the Lord has raised you up. But that proceeds and the Lord turns it around after Esther goes. But before it really happens, in the sixth chapter, the sixth verse, Haman, who started all this, he was the evil one. He was who was plotting to kill all the Jews. The king calls him in. And all this was instituted by the Lord through Esther. And it says, so Haman came into the king and said, what is to be done for the man who desires... The king said to him, what is to be done for the man whom the king desires to honor? And listen to this next phrase. And Haman said to himself, aha, he's going to honor me. Whom would the king desire to honor more than me? That's what he said to himself, not out loud to the king. So he is just falling into that trap of what? Seeking honor. Look at verse 10. So the king, he tells the king what he thinks he ought to do, how he parades him around before all men so that all men see him on this horse, and he makes good proclamations about him. And then in verse 10, the king turns around and says to Haman, take quickly the robes and the horse, as you've said, and do so for Mordecai the Jew, who is sitting at the king's gate. Do not fall short in anything of all you have said. Do you see how he was brought low? Now what, he ended up losing his life because this plot was exposed. But let me just remind you what happened to the Jews. Mordecai was exalted because of his honor. Esther was honored because she acted honorably. And Haman got just the opposite. But concerning the Jews, here's what happened as humble people worked for other people. For the Jews, there was light and gladness and joy. And I could put a period there and we could all say amen. But then it adds, and honor. So the Jews were honored by the Lord to the point that other people wanted to be Jews and wanted to join in with them because the Lord had honored them thusly. John 5:44 says, "How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek that which is from the one and only God?" Remember what we said earlier. True honor is a heart matter, and true honor only comes from the Lord. I want to close by reading a few verses in Romans, the 12th chapter. Romans chapter 12. And we're going to start with 10, verse 10, but the second part of verse 10. Give preference to one another in honor. Isn't that what we talked about? Give preference, defer to one another in honor as a synonym for honor. Give preference to one another in honor. New Living Translation says, take delight in honoring one another. And here again, I like what the Passion Translation says. Try to outdo yourselves. Not try to outdo somebody else. Yourself. Try to outdo, in other words, increase. Try to outdo yourself in respect and honor of one another. That's to be our lifestyle. That's to be the goal that we are to attain to. Now let me read verse 10 for you. Look at how it starts. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Here we are again. Love, knowing who you are, and honor. And then look at verses 11 through 21, and I'm not going to read them all. But if you look at this, then these things are descriptions of what we do when we truly honor, and I'm going to just say the Lord, not lagging in diligence, being fervent in spirit, serving Him, rejoicing in hope, devoted to prayer. All of these attributes are things that are emblematic of demonstrating honor to the Lord. And saints, I can't tell you how much, many times the Lord has spoken to me this, and even now is saying, as you honor me, I will honor you. And there is a reward for that honor. This is living the honorable lifestyle. This is who we are called to be. And I just believe the Lord is taking us up to this place, just like Esther had to come to a point of acting honorably, even though there was some fear in doing it, because the Lord has work for you and I to do in His kingdom. Now, next week, we're going to jump right in to what I would term biblical submission and obedience. And I'll tell you, it is just as important as what we're talking about today. You can't separate this from honor, as I think you'll see in if you read verses 10 through 21 in Romans 12. Father, I ask you to take this word, and as we meditate it and mutter it and think about it, make it come alive. Give us that of revelation. Pull back the veil on this word so that we see how to walk in increased honor in every area of our lives, and how when we do that, that brings honor to you. So Lord, we want to honor you, and I just believe that we've become more equipped to do so as we take in your word and let it develop and grow in the roots of love in our spirit, man. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. We'll see you next week. Look forward to it, and live and walk in honor, both giving, but also in receiving it. Bless you.